Okay, as we say, when President Reagan became president in 1981, he made no secret of his hatred for the Soviet Union. He called it an evil empire. He was prepared to move American cruise missiles, nuclear-tipped cruise missiles, into Europe to protect it from the Soviets. The Soviets had moved in their own short-range nuclear missiles. Reagan wasn't for backing down. He immediately moved in cruise missiles. He was really tough when it came to arms talks. Whenever it came to arms talks, basically the Russians said, look, we'll reduce a few missiles if you reduce a few missiles. Reagan says, no, zero option. If we're going to have arms talks, let's have arms talks. Both sides should get all their nuclear weapons out of Europe. The Russians immediately refused. Arms talks between Russia and America would break down again over Grenada when America would invade a small communist country. And then Reagan then doubled the amount he was spending on the military. Doubled it. And then, in 1983, he came up with something which is crazy. It's called Star Wars, the Strategic Defense Initiative. And yes, you did hear that right. He came up with Star Wars. He called it Star Wars. It was his plan, and I kid you not, he went on the TV and said he had a plan to put satellites in space which would use lasers to shoot down Soviet missiles. So the idea was that if the Russians ever launched a missile at America, he would have a big laser gun on a satellite which would blow it out of the sky. We still can't do anything remotely like that. When we have no weapon that can do that, we still can't get a satellite into space with a giant laser gun on it. And Ronald Reagan was talking about this in 1983. But the Russians guessed that the Americans must have something up their sleeve if they're talking about this live on TV, and if the American president has told the entire world that he's going to put this into place, hadn't the remotest chance of doing it. Eventually, this would lead to the Russians and other countries boycotting Olympics. This is what both sides did at the time for some reason. I have no idea why, but if you fell out with Russia, you wouldn't play at the Olympics. Russia fell out with America, wouldn't go to the Los Angeles Olympics because of what they called President Reagan's warlike ways, etc., etc. But the Strategic Defense Initiative really made it very clear to the world and to Russia that America had a massive technological advantage and could spend far more money on its military than Russia ever could. Russia's military was much larger in many ways, but American scientific expertise when it came to weaponry was really ahead of Russia in so many areas, and this frightened the Russians. There was also in 1984 an exercise called Able Archer. Now, it was just an operation where NATO was training, where, you know, Britain and France and Germany and America would get their troops together and do a bit of training. But the Russians, for some reason, panicked and thought the Americans were getting ready to start a nuclear attack. Now, when President Reagan found out about this, when he found out that the Russians really thought that he would start World War III, he had a bit of a panic. Because he thought, you know, I don't want a war breaking out. Neither side wanted a nuclear war. And so President Reagan, when he heard that the Russians were really panicked by Exercise Able Archer, when they really believed that he would hit the red button and start a nuclear war, he thought, right, we've got to change things. He had certainly shown that America could be very strong, but what he needed to do now was find a way of making some sort of peace with Russia, because he did not want World War III breaking out. Russia had its own problems. In the early 1980s, there were protest movements. Spoke in the last little MP3 about the claims about the Helsinki Agreement in 1975, which said that people should have the right to free speech in Eastern Europe. And Eastern Europeans began to take that very seriously. Shipyard workers in Poland went on strike, led by a man called Lech Walesa, or Walesa. He was an electrician. He formed the first free trade union, which had about 10 million people in Russia. Now, he would be arrested, and his friends would be arrested at different times. He would lead strikes. I mean, life was not easy for these guys, but they really were a thorn in the Russian side because, I mean, these were not right-wing capitalists who wanted to make lots of money. They wanted a fair deal for workers, for ordinary workers. The Russians didn't like them. Jaruzelski, who was the sort of hardline Polish general who was put in charge of Poland, hated them because they were not, you know, they said and asked for things that good communists shouldn't ask for. Communism was about to be meant to be about helping the ordinary people. Yet here was a trade union saying, we want a better deal. Because the Polish economy was in crisis. You couldn't get daily necessities like bread at a decent price. And so Solidarity had a number of fairly, it was banned by the Russians. And this is incredible. I mean, you've got this trade union, which is meant to get a fair deal for workers, being banned by the Polish under communist pressure. What it demanded was better pay for workers. It wanted workers and not the Communist Party to elect factory managers. And it wanted church services to be broadcast on the radio and TV. I mean, one of their slogans was, we want God, we want God. And it wanted an end to dictatorship, an end to the secret police. And Solidarity became, I mean, it led a huge strike in 1980 in a shipyard strike. The idea of people striking against communists was massively embarrassing. Always remember, communists are meant to make working people's lives better. Here are working people, 10 million of them in Russia and Poland, saying, we want something different. Anyway, the Cold War could have gone on for quite some time if it wasn't for one man. Despite President Reagan wanting peace, despite President Reagan spending more than Russia could spend, despite groups like Solidarity in Poland, there's one man in particular who helped end the Cold War, and that was Mikhail Gorbachev. When President Reagan increased America's military spending in 1984 by $32 billion, Mikhail Gorbachev, who became the Soviet leader in 1985, decided, look, we just can't keep up. We can't keep up. Russia is just so inefficient. Russia is just not working. Usually a factory in America or Britain will make as much as it can sell and will make the sort of goods that people want to buy in shops. In Russia, in communist Russia, the factories made whatever an official in Moscow thought the people needed. An official in Moscow would guess what the people would want, but not what they wanted, what they would need. And that's what the factory made. So quite often factories made things that nobody wanted. They could be very efficient, they could make lots of them. But they didn't make enough, you know, toasters, and people really wanted toasters, you know. But they would make lots of other things that people would never want. And it was just massively inefficient. And Gorbachev felt, no, this has got to change. We've got to change this. And so he worked very hard to do business together with Reagan, met with him several times, met together in Geneva in 1985, and then again in Reykjavik in 1986. Reagan incredibly would not back down in Star Wars, which Gorbachev really wanted rid of. And it's extraordinary. In 1986 in Reykjavik, Reagan offered to scrap all ballistic nuclear weapons, but he would not give up on Star Wars. And for that reason, Gorbachev would not do a deal. Yet there was no chance of Star Wars ever working. There was no chance of getting a satellite into space with a laser gun that could shoot down nuclear weapons. Yet no deal was, we weren't able to get a deal ahead for that reason. Gorbachev realized that the Soviet Union was in a really bad way, and he had two ideas. He wanted to reform the Soviet Union by perestroika and glasnost. Glasnost went more democracy, freedom of speech, less corruption, reducing the powers of the secret police. Glasnost was about more openness. Perestroika was about more capitalism, about producing the goods that people actually wanted to buy. It was about being more like the West. their economy was in such poor shape. People in Eastern Europe, in Poland, in Czechoslovakia, in Bulgaria, in Hungary were fed up with the communist system of rule. 70% of the Russian economy was spent on the military. Gorbachev, like I said, was pushing really, really hard to put an end to this. And one of the things that he got rid of was the Brezhnev Doctrine. The Brezhnev Doctrine basically was, remember, 1968 in Czechoslovakia. The Brezhnev Doctrine was, if a country's communist, it stays communist. There will be no other parties allowed in that. You're not going to change how that country runs. Gorbachev basically came to the conclusion, we can't afford to do that anymore. We don't have the money. Russia can't afford to send troops into Eastern European countries every time there's somebody wants rid of us. And so he eventually made it be known that if people in Eastern Europe were going to complain and wanted rid of communism, well, he wasn't going to do a thing about it. 1987, he was able to sign a treaty, the Nuclear Forces Treaty, with America to reduce medium-range missiles. 1989, he gets out of Afghanistan. And eventually, I mean, he was massively popular with the ordinary people. I mean, massively popular. He was very popular in the West as well. And eventually, this would lead to the end of the Cold War, because by 1989, people in these other countries were pushing for free speech, were pushing to get rid of the communists. 1989, he met the new American president, George Bush, and Gorbachev and Bush together announced the end of the Cold War. And Eastern Europe got rid of communism with breathtaking speed. In Hungary, in 1989, in September, the Hungarian government said, right, we're not going to stop people fleeing into Austria anymore. Used to be, if you try to get into Austria, guards would have shot you. 1989, the Hungarian government says, you want to go into Austria, go into Austria. And what then happened is that thousands and thousands of Germans in East Germany went into Hungary to go into Austria to get into West Germany. So they sort of moved around in a semicircle. And eventually so many people were fleeing into the West through Hungary that there was just no point in having any border controls. Gorbachev had made it clear, listen, the Brezhnev Doctrine is dead. I am not going to send in troops to bring an end to this. And so what happened is in 1989, they brought down the Berlin Wall. And that eventually ended. That was the end of the Cold War. That's seen as the moment when the Cold War was over. Lech Walesa eventually became the president of Poland. Hungary, Bulgaria, all these countries, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, would all get rid of communism. There was an attempt in Russia by communist generals to take Russia back for communism, but that failed. There was protests led by a man called Boris Yeltsin. In Romania, the communist dictator Ceausescu and his wife were overthrown. Bulgaria, massive protests led to the end. Of communism in that country. The Soviet Union said it would never, and call this the Sinatra Doctrine, it would never interfere in Eastern Europe again. Countries could break away without fear of Soviet invasion. And so that saved Russia a huge amount of money. The Berlin Wall came down and there was German reunification in 1990. And that's the end of the Cold War. It's due to push for free speech in Eastern Europe. It's due to Reagan outspending the Russians, but it's also due to Gorbachev realizing that there was no point in holding on to a military dictatorship. Russia just needed to change.